Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What did you like most about the Cubs' extra inning battle with the Phillies? Was PCA's double in the 11th or solo home runs from Tucker and Happ? Or are you a pitching guy from starter Matthew Boyd to Ryan Pressly pitching out of a jam and hitting 95 on the gun, or Daniel Palencia topping out at 101? What did you like most?
Yeah, you know, I think I like the home runs most. I like when they hit home runs. I just try to remind myself that they needed more runs and they needed to get more guys on base. And it felt like, you know, neither team was getting big hits, but the Phillies had a lot of guys on base and the Cubs didn't. So, you know, like I said, I think of all the things that happened in the game, it's just the way it turned out. I thought Ian Happ's home run was the best moment. Big moment for him. Big, you know, at bat, you get a, you tie the game and put them in a position to win the game. Maybe PCA's double, maybe that was as good as anything else you saw. But it just wasn't enough, and it's kind of upsetting. I love the idea that that Ryan Pressly was hitting 95. I mean, I thought he was having a pretty bad inning, and then all of a sudden he reached back and he had something else. So that's probably a good sign.
It's going to be the PCA double in the 11th, and the reason is not just because I've been on that PCA bandwagon, because it was the run that put them up, and they finally got a clutch hit in that game with somebody on base, and he gave the Cubs an opportunity to win that game. Then he gets to third, and I think that's the other part of this that I'd like to add on, because, again, same thing. He gets on base and he gets in the mind of the pitcher catcher combo, and the pitcher for the Phillies at that time just literally buried a ball that the catcher had no shot in getting. Yep. So now he's at third,
right?
He's at third and they can't get him in.
I thought he was getting it. I thought that was a lock, right? He was coming in,
and that ended up being so costly. So PCA delivering in the extra innings, and that, what a, I mean, he smoked that ball.
Clutch hitter. No doubt about it. Clutch hitter. But what did I like most about the extra innings loss to the Phillies? Nothing. Nothing. I was watching this game like everybody else, thinking that they needed this. It would be a good comeback. Only two home runs and five hits overall. What's going on with the offense? And there were some bright spots. And Pressly hitting 95, good. Palencia is going to always hit triple digits if he's in the game with on the line. Ian Happ has a clutch homer. Matthew Boyd was good enough, regardless of how many earned runs we decided he deserved. But There was nothing to like about that Cub game because it was against the Phillies, a playoff team, and it was a close game down the stretch, and the Cubs lost. And they, I don't want to say found a way to lose that game, but certainly the Phillies found a way to win it. And I am not going to overreact to three losses in four games, but this is a Cub team that now, when you talk about big picture-wise, when they face good pitchers lately, they lose. Skubal, Flaherty, Wheeler, you go back, Mackenzie Gore. How about Andy Abbott from the Reds? It's not been a good 10 days. So I liked nothing about Monday night.
What about Matt Shaw's defense?
Nope.
I thought even that. Now see,
I thought that would. I thought he would melt.
I thought he was going
to
go.
I mean, I like Matt Shaw.
The good news is as soon as he made that play to end that inning, I immediately thought of you.
I know.
I was like, yeah, that's awesome. I honestly felt like it's fun when he plays well because of that. That's a player you thought that was breaking camp with the Cubs in Arizona.
Yeah.
So when you just asked that question, I started racking my brain. Off the top of my head, I don't even know.
That's the voice of Tommy Hotovy. We're lucky enough to talk to him today at 9 o'clock. What happened to the Cubs offense? Supposedly the quote-unquote best in baseball. Not that long ago, but recently shut out twice in the last week and struggling to get really anything going last night in Philly. Do they need to shake things up? And if so, how?
Well, I think they do need to shake things up. And I don't think that's an overreaction. Already we have seen, I don't consider moving Carson Kelly down a couple spots in the order shaking things up. I think that's grasping the obvious. Carson Kelly is not a cleanup hitter. Carson Kelly is a guy that has had a tremendous first 2 months of the season. But I don't believe that you're going to win many games with him batting fourth or fifth. So good, put him seventh. That's where he belongs. I would maybe consider if this continues, and it's gone on long enough. I mean, it really has. 10 days is long enough. They've been shut out twice in the last week. Last night, they get two home runs and five hits. And they lose Sunday, and they score one run. Yeah, it's gone on long enough. Start leading off PCA. Pete Crow Armstrong, not fourth. Bat him at the top of the order. Give me PCA, Tucker, Suzuki. 1-2-3. Get as many at-bats for those three guys as possible. And then everyone else falls in line behind them. Oh, by the way, keep playing Michael Bush against lefties. Don't go back to that. He's going to be, if he's your first baseman in a playoff setting, treat every series like a playoff series. He should be the everyday first baseman. And then you can do the rest to the bottom of the lineup as Craig Counsell chooses. But I do think you should maybe start to consider a little bit of tweaking here and there because this historically good offense, or at least it was for the first up until 10 days ago, has hit a little bit of a dry spell.
Speaking of Craig Counsell, on today at 2:30 with the Spiegel and Holmes show. 2:30, Craig Counsell today. We'll see if they ask him about shaking things up. So, David, just really quick, and I don't totally disagree, but just so would you, if you're moving PCA up to one, is Ian Happ now your cleanup hitter in that scenario?
Fourth or fifth? I bet him fifth. I might go Bush fourth.
Okay.
Because I might go Bush fourth and then Happ fifth with a little bit more flexibility from either side of the plate. So you're going, yeah, you have two lefties at the top of the order, but you have Suzuki, then Bush, then Happ.
I'm flip-flopping Suzuki and PCA. I'm wondering the approach pitchers would take with Tucker, with PCA protecting him. And not that Suzuki's been very good as well, but PCA's been better, right? PCA's better than Suzuki. So I just might do that. I might move PCA up one spot in the top third. I don't know that he's ready yet. I think leading off is a whole nother animal. His approach is not always fantastic, PCA.
I get that.
So that's why I think
you're not scoring runs.
Right, but that's why I'd move him third.
I here's a little addendum. Maybe you go PCA, Suzuki, Tucker. So you mix up the left, right, left.
It's curious that the guy that had one of the bigger hits in the game has to be moved in the lineup. I'm just curious.
Are you asking me why I hate Ian Happ?
It's a strange
I don't hate Ian Happ.
I think what's happened is the bottom part of the lineup was producing all these runs.
Yeah.
And was doing really
and
well.
And that's gone a little quiet,
And that's
right?
gone a little quiet. Yeah. And I think that's a good point. the top part of the lineup, all the guys we're talking about are all doing pretty good. Like, you know, I think Seiya's doing pretty good. I think, you know, PCA's as good as anybody on the team. I kind of like the lineup. I don't hate their lineup. I think their offense is what's been what separated them from other teams. They maybe don't play so many good pitchers. Could you figure that
they're
out?
They're not going anywhere.
That might be what's really going on.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you're going to run into that every once in a while. I think that's kind of what's happened to them. But I don't know that I'm making like a dramatic made-up word.
You're not worried about the Cub offense.
And drastic.
Nick
no,
Abel tonight.
Like I said, I think they faced really good pitching in Detroit. And the game that they won, it was super bizarre statistic where they're not hitting with runners in scoring position. It was kind of crazy. Who's going tonight?
Mick Abel, and let's hope he's not.
Yeah, okay. Maybe tonight will be a lot easier.
I understand the question.
Craig Counsell was ejected for the second straight game last night. What do you think this is? Is this a negative or a positive or a neutral? Again, Craig Counsell on today, afternoon show, 2:30.
I can't believe he got ejected two games in a row. I mean, it's been like Dustin's pet peeve that the guy doesn't get ejected, and now he's getting ejected, and I don't think it's helped at all. I don't feel like they won either game he was ejected from. So it's hard for me to say, wow, thank God the guy got himself thrown out. It was weird. He got a quick hook there. He was clearly flustered because he was trying to just – he wanted to make a point. He wanted him to look at something, and he got thrown out just by walking up to the guy. So I don't think – I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think that there's – that his name is Mud or anything, and everybody's looking for a way to toss him. It's just an oddity. I think it's just weird timing. I honestly don't think he's going to get thrown out tonight.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet that he would get thrown out tonight, but I do like the pulse. I do like, but again, the key thing, Mully, I think you just said it. Like, it was a very, it was almost quicker than what happened to Nico the day before.
Yeah.
I don't think he said anything with the foul language. I don't think he touched the umpire, which of course would get you automatically ejected. Just that umpire was like, we are in a brisk game right here. Go back. Like, that's how it felt. Like, you're not going to ruin this. We're not allowing you to ruin it. I just don't get it. And then the idea that the ump then tells him in the explanation, well, if Michael Bush hadn't had the ball in his glove, I'd have called him out. Wait a minute, what? Like, I mean, you know, like, that's crazy. I'm not going to sit here and blame Michael Bush for fielding a ball.
No.
Right? But I'm just saying, the idea that if Michael Bush had not fielded the ball, then the batter would have been out.
It is absurd.
That's ridiculous. That's why I think it was a good thing. And then when did Ian Happ hit the home run?
Eighth inning.
Okay, when was Craig Counsell ejected? Earlier. So yep. I can't say that it has
a correlation.
You think
it's cause-effect?
Maybe. Wake up, guys. Let's go. Maybe. I got a pulse. You should, too.
I think we're going to have to find a way. If I were covering Craig Counsell for a publication, how do you quote his deep sighs before every answer? Because they are exasperation defined. It's like he takes a deep breath and he's like, oh, my gosh, I have to answer this. It is funny to listen to. I don't believe that there's a cause and effect between a manager getting ejected and a guy hitting a home run. I would like to believe that. I don't think it's valid. I do think that it's just coincidence that Craig Counsell has had two in a row back-to-back. The problem last night, unlike on Sunday when he was defending his player, I think last night he was trying to argue logic. And logically speaking, what you just described is true. That made no sense. Michael Bush should have let the ball sail past him, not caught it, and because then he would have had a better, more valid argument. So Craig Counsell's trying to make sense with the nonsensical. And so instead of putting up with it, the umpire ejected him, which is amusing. I don't know if there's ever been a manager ejected two straight games. I'm sure there has been.
There have been.
I'm sure. You
there
think?
Have to have been.
I don't know.
No, quite.
It's pretty rare.
David, back
Let's
in
get
the
Chris
day,
Kampka on this.
I would tell you that I can think of managers who got thrown out of the game, and the next day they got thrown out because they got thrown out the game
well,
before.
Well, okay, then I want to know how often it happens.
I think the three-peat would be the curious.
The three-peat,
the
would,
three-peat
be
would be awesome.
There's only four managers in baseball right now that have been ejected more than Craig Counsell. Of active managers, Craig Counsell is fifth. It was his 33rd ejection last night. Bruce Bochy, 87 times.
Wow.
Bob Melvin, 65. Terry Francona, 51. Aaron Boone, 41. Craig Counsell, 33.
What?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
That's another really good question.
How fired up are you to learn the White Sox are calling up their reliever Grant Taylor per friend of the program, James Fox? Taylor is the team's number six prospect, according to MLB Pipeline. How about the fact that he posted a 1.01 ERA, 37 Ks in 26.2 innings in Double A?
Those numbers speak of a dominant pitcher. And Grant Taylor was dominating Double A hitters. Grant Taylor was dominating so much that he caught the eye of Brian Bannister, who's watching every pitch and every outing closer than we are. And when Brian Bannister will listen to what he had to say and remind people how high he was on Grant Taylor a couple weeks ago, maybe just a week ago when he was on this radio station, comparing him to some great relievers, this is exciting.
Yeah,
this is the latest exciting news with the White Sox bringing up a prospect. Kyle Teal last week, Tim Elko before that, now Grant Taylor. Let's hope that they have a lead to protect, but if they do, I can't wait for the first time. It's 4-2 in the ninth inning, and they say, here's the ball, kid. Go save a game.
I agree with what you said, David. I think it's really cool that they're bringing a guy up, and they've been in some close games. They've had leads, and they've let the leads get away. And good for James Fox for breaking the story. Good for him.
Yeah, congratulations to James for breaking the story. He does a great job, and I really enjoy his work. So congratulations to him. Grant Taylor, you know, it's wild to me that he's already on this track. He's already someone that they have decided, nope, you know, reliever. Don't worry about trying to get innings out of them. Don't worry about trying. Like, they've already determined, and frankly, with a guy like this, with when you hear what was said about him and how good his arm is, basically they're saying he's the closer.
Yes.
You know, whether it's in the future or it's by the end of the year and another month by the All-Star break, I mean, use him in that role, man. Bring it. I like the idea that they're going to try to get all the bullets at the major league level because he shows he's got some superiority. So I love that. But, it's kind of wild. I mean, it's just, it's cool that they're bringing him up and they're letting him do it. And he's a young cat and he should be here for a while. I'm on board with it. I love it. Let's see him. Let's go get him in there and let's see him close the game. Let's go.
Different question on a different topic.
Voice of Mike Florio joining Mully and Haw at 8:44 this morning. Dan Orlovsky of the Four Letter Network believes Caleb Williams is under more pressure than any quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, I don't think there's a quarterback in the NFL under more pressure than Caleb Williams. The expectations are remarkably high. Ben Johnson, so you imagine like what Sean McVay was for Jared Goff when he went there, or what Mike McDaniel was for Tua when he went there. You can make the case that Caleb's more physically talented than those two guys. And so this is an offensive line that's going to be much improved. They've got guys to throw the football to by the dozens, it feels like, and a scheme that gets every quarterback to play well. Under Ben Johnson in Detroit, they scored 177 touchdowns and punted 154 times. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, like, the expectations should be exponentially high, and Caleb has to meet them.
Do you agree with Dan Orlovsky?
I think Dan Orlovsky should be under more pressure, frankly. Listen, he's an NFL quarterback. They're all under pressure. I get it. I think that all the things that we're talking about are positives. You know, having you're not under pressure because your offensive line is better. And boy, somebody at Pro Football Focus loves the Bears. Did you see that their guard tandem was ranked second in the NFL? In the entire league, 32 teams, they have the best guard tandem? That might be a little bit over your skis there. Well, can we watch them play together and make sure everybody's healthy? Love it. I think he won't get sacked as much because he's got better coaching. He's got better protection. He should be better. I'm not sure he had much help a year ago. I think they've done a lot to improve the people around him. I think it's up to him to be able to distribute the ball and get rid of the ball quicker. And he's got things that he's responsible for. But the guy didn't throw a lot of picks. He's made some pretty decent decisions. I just don't agree with it. I think that people that have nothing are under more pressure. People that don't get help. You know, last year, I feel like he was under a lot more pressure as the number one overall pick in a draft, going into a place that doesn't know what to do with a quarterback, that hired the wrong coordinator and had the wrong head coach for him. I think there are all those things seem like they've changed in the positive. So I'm not sure I agree with the idea. Does he have pressure on him? Absolutely. Does he have to be better? No shadow of a doubt. Are the excuses gone? Okay, maybe that's what you consider pressure, but I don't think I agree with that. I don't think he's the most pressurized quarterback in the league.
Well, he's the quarterback that I care about most in the league because he quarterbacks my favorite team in the league. There are no more excuses, and I think part of this might be the book, right? We've got the excerpts from the book, maybe not, but that adds to it. So Caleb didn't run from it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, had some questions about the Bears, but then I met with the Bears. I had the questions answered that I was concerned about. So, yeah, they have put all their resources on that side of the ball for the most part. I won't say they've ignored the defense. I'm not going to say that. But they have put – and the coach, they were able to get the most sought-after coaching candidate available, I believe. I mean, Mike Vrabel might end up being the better, I don't know, leader of men. But I don't know that I think the Bears were in a better spot than the Patriots in this cycle when both teams were looking for a coach. Mm-hmm. I think Vrabel just fit better for obvious reasons. Having mm-hmm. played there didn't hurt. But I think they also got a coach that's going to expect a lot. There's a lot of pressure. I could also just take out Caleb Williams' name and put Ben Johnson's name in there. That Ben Johnson might be under the most pressure.
Coach. Yeah, you're talking about coaches?
I'm saying he might be under this year because of the weapons and, you know, staying in the division. And
he gets kind of a pass.
Can he do it?
You think he gets a
pass? Yeah, I think he gets – the pressure's different.
Okay.
I agree don't with think, Orlovsky. I don't think Dan Orlovsky is far off. I don't know if you want to say the most pressure on any quarterback is Caleb Williams, but I understand the sentiment because I think that it exists and it's real. And there's not – I don't think – for a guy that exaggerates a lot and I think watches a lot of film, I don't think Dan Orlovsky is as far off on this as he has been on other declarations. Because I think that Caleb Williams is, let's face it, one of the biggest reasons Ben Johnson is here. Also, coming off a season that was disappointing in terms of the expectations. Were those expectations realistic? Maybe not. Maybe that's our fault, but it's his fault for not doing a better job of living up to them. He did have a pretty good year. It's been exaggerated how bad his year was, largely because of the expectations going in. He didn't have a terrible season. He had a disappointing season. There's a difference. As far as – I think it's different in every market, and I think the market also dictates how much pressure a quarterback will feel. In Chicago, because of those expectations, because of the passion that exists, I do think that there's more pressure that's more palpable than in other NFL cities. I would also put on the list, and I think that we could debate this up until training camp and never run out of topics, but I think Brock Purdy with the contract in San Francisco has got a lot of pressure to live up to that deal. I think Dak Prescott, because he's a Dallas Cowboy quarterback who's never really achieved or lived up to expectations there for a lot of different reasons, has a lot of pressure. Trevor Lawrence, he's a symbol of unfulfilled potential down in Jacksonville. He's got his own set of pressure. C.J. Stroud really had a disappointing year, too. Is he healthy enough to do something about it in year three? So those are guys in Jordan Love.
What about the division? That's what I'm saying. You don't think J.J. McCarthy?
J.J. McCarthy has pressure. I don't think it's as much as Caleb Williams.
Jordan Love has a lot of pressure. Goff has pressure on him because you know what? They didn't win the Super Bowl.
And they now he has
a
guy
he's
that
lost the guy.
Many believe was a reason for his success. Now he's got to prove that it wasn't Ben Johnson. So it's a good conversation, but I don't think that Dan Orlovsky was that far off.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Did last night's game live up to the first two games of the Stanley Cup Finals? Hit real decline for Edmonton? What's your take on Connor McDavid's status?
It did not live up to the first two games. This question was intended to taunt me.
I don't think that was the case at all.
It's a very, very lopsided game three. And Brad Marchand scored the first goal after scoring the last goal. And then you wanted to punch him in the face even more. And the Oilers had had enough. And then it got a funny thing happened on the way to a hockey game. Fight broke out and all the things. The Oilers weren't ready for whatever reason. That's a tough place to play. That environment is just conducive to winning. You can feel the winning culture all over the place. So Panthers did what the Panthers do, and the Oilers have to regroup, and it looks like McDavid's hurt.
It does.
USA, USA, USA. The Oilers have a goaltending problem, David. They had a goaltending problem. They chased him. Right. They chased him. And I love what McDavid had to say after the game. The four of us talked about it in our little pre-show get-together about that McDavid said, the best is yet to come. All right. That is big, large talk. And they've got 2 days sitting around in South Beach to figure things out and to try to get back in this thing. But if they go back to Edmonton, okay, if they go back up to Edmonton down 3-1, I think there's going to be a big party on the way back from Edmonton to Florida. You know, you were talking about a 4 or 5 hour flight with the Stanley Cup, and there will be a lot of beer spilled on that airplane.
Would you, Dustin, would you call for a gentleman's sweep?
It's looking that way. I'm really worried about what the Oilers are going to do with goaltending. Let's put it this way. 6.5 in the next game. Last night's total was 6.5. If it's 6.5 on Thursday again, I think you might have to think about investing in over 6.5 goals.
Yeah, I was disappointed because I thought Edmonton would do better, and this has been a really hotly contested couple of games, and ultimately Florida did what they wanted to do by winning game two, even in overtime and double overtime. But to go back and then just embarrass them, that was an embarrassment. You should be embarrassed. What was the final? 6-1. I'm sorry. That's like a what would the equivalent be? Like 45-7, something like that. I mean, they got their heads beat in, and their best player was slowed down, and it'd be very curious to see if he's okay. He missed some shifts. How many penalty minutes they have?
Oh, my gosh.
They lost their composure.
They did.
Not only did they get beaten, but they lost their composure. And that, frankly, was the kind of game that, you know, when a team wins game three, that changes the conversation as to who's going to win the thing, etc. I would say they're definitely in the driver's seat. And it's difficult to play on the road, but Edmonton has to respond from that.
They have to respond.
They have to.
I don't have any tolerance for this talk of a gentleman's sweep. It's still going seven. It's still a competitive series.
You want more fighting? I mean, it was a gentleman.
No, I don't know where this gentleman's sweep term came from, but I don't like it at all. And I just think that, you know, and this has nothing to do, for the record, okay? This has nothing to do with patriotism, the fact that I picked the Oilers. Dustin's like, USA, USA. You think Florida's going to beat Edmonton because of, like, you're waving the flag in my face? That has nothing to do with the flag. This has something to do with hockey.
Did you see, speaking of patriotism, did you see what Coco Gauff had to say after winning the French Open? It was beautiful. We should get into that at some point.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
It was. I love the way she celebrated.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.